Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast.
Everyone has at least one good story.
And some of us have stories that are just to the left of normal.
We're interested in the ones that push the boundaries of what we can perceive.
Stories that defy explanations.
Stories with an air of mystery.
Stories we might not share.
For fear of being thought of differently.
But don't worry. We're all friends here. So, what's your weird story?
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast. I'm your host, Barry, and with me, as always, my buddy, Mr. Adam Beebe. How are you, sir?
Hey, Barry. How's it going, man?
It's going. It's going. Yeah.
Happy New Year once again. We're extending your joy for a while. So
the more I say that, the more I'll remember what to put on when I write my checks.
Yeah, I've been pretty good so far.
2019.
My 2019. So
how you holding up with your beginning of the year ideas?
Oh, completely. Just about. I'm probably right there along with the majority of strong-willed and self-determined people, and completely given up on all of them. So
that's the way it goes.
I tried. You know, we'll figure something out.
I mean, if you haven't figured out by the age of 40 something how to motivate yourself, there's not much hope for you. So, I mean, you know, it is what it is at this point.
But I'll tell you what, man, I'm just, we got a couple inches of snow out there on the ground. So I'm enjoying that.
Yeah.
But, cause it's, I'm still a big kid at heart in general, but definitely when it snows and when I see snow, and I love it. So it's
and
a perfect
also,
time of year.
If it's going to be cold, there might as well be something to look at.
Exactly. You know, although it's been pretty warm this winter, comparatively, but we finally got some nice, beautiful snow out there. So,
well, good.
How's everything down there and, back home in Oklahoma, man?
Very good. I think you guys got the snow portion of the rain that we got a couple of days ago. It just rained like crazy. So you probably got that. I'm assuming the same sort of storm. But yeah, man, things are going good. And speaking of home, we've got a return of a buddy of ours, Mr. Jeff Hubbard.
We do indeed.
He's coming back to kind of recap Shan's story from last week. And we kind of wanted to get him on because he is our Bigfoot expert.
Yeah, we had mentioned that we had tried to get him to be available for when Shan had told his story, but it just the planets didn't line up that day. So we set him down and he thoroughly studied the recordings. He made notes, and he even texted me a picture of the notes that he had been making, which he had forgot at the office.
It's a good thing he took a picture.
So, so Jeff's going to be back here with us today to give us his notes, and we're going to have a conversation about Bigfoot with him, about Shan's expert. Since we all grew up in the same town that Shan's talking about, you know, our hometown, so he's got that. So, yeah, but not only do we have Mr. Hubbard with us, our Bigfoot expert and voice of the reader, but we also have another friend of mine, Sean, who I met here at graduate school, art grad school, and Sean's got a couple of cool ghosty stories to share.
Really cool.
Yeah, they're fun. They're a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And Sean also is a podcaster. He just started up his own podcast, Bored in the Suburbs, and he's going to tell us a little bit about that as well. And that's a pretty cool, completely different, but very interesting of podcast.
It is, so. And you'll hear us talk about it and, you know, support him. Go to his podcast and subscribe to it. I'm sure he has social media that he also does. Get on there and let him know that we sent you over to him. So let's get to it. We got Jeff coming up with his commentary on Shan's Bigfoot story, and then followed up by Sean.
Jeff, thanks for joining us, man. You've already told us your weird stories, but let's hear your commentary. What did you think?
Snoochy boochies, bitches.
What's up, man?
Hey, not much. How are you guys doing?
Good.
All right. Good. Good to see you again.
Yeah.
Good. Man. Good to see you guys.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you guys.
We've decided we could say Happy New Year for a couple more weeks, and then after that, we're done.
Yeah, sounds good to me. It's always a Happy New Year.
For sure, for sure. So what'd you think, man?
So, yeah, man, amazing story. I listened, I think, 4 times. I don't know, to Shan's interview. You know, his voice and the description of the evening and the coolness and the dew on the grass and just, you know, his searching around. I could just see him out there searching around in some dim light on a cold, frosty night, just freaking out. So anyway, yeah, thought it was great. So yeah, let's kind of jump into maybe discussing a little bit of this.
Have you heard, because this is the first time I've heard of anything like this close to Kingfisher. Have you heard of anything like that?
Well, you know, yeah. Actually, when I was doing my initial Bigfoot research back in 2005.
Is that when you first started to really get into this stuff?
Yeah, that's it.
2005?
2005.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I want
to do another side note. Sorry for interrupting you there, but growing up, our listeners may or may not be surprised to hear this. Growing up, I was always the one who was really into the weird stuff, and like, you know, the monsters and comic books and all that weird stuff, and was open about it. And you have always been a very scientific-minded person, very, you know, nature-minded, stuff like that. How did you arrive at this? I think you may have explained it a little before, but how did you arrive at this in 2005?
Well, you know, I'd started a new job and everything had slowed down. And it was right before law school. I think I had about 3 months before law school. There wasn't anything to do at work. And I don't know. I think I came across a Bigfoot story one day and I was like, I'm going to get to the bottom of Bigfoot. And so I think I looked at everything on the internet. I'm an office chair, armchair Bigfoot researcher.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes.
Yeah. But yeah. And you know, the bulk of my research and, you know, my thesis paper has not been presented to the scientific community yet.
Still working on that. Still working out the flaws.
Exactly. Still working on that.
Take your time, man. You know, you've got all the time to do that. So.
Exactly. So yeah, I started then. I can't remember exactly where I was going with that.
initially. Well, you're working your desk job and yeah. That's what you're saying, and you were about to enter. You had a little time before school started,
right?
Get into Bigfoot.
Okay, I'm back on track now. So I was reading Bigfoot stories all over message boards, you know, and always, you know, when I was doing this research, I'm always looking for local stories. Okay, right. So I come across one. To my astonishment, was a Kingfisher County Bigfoot story. And to make a long story short, I read this story. This guy was turkey hunting with two of his buddies, and they were around the Cimarron River, and across a field, they saw a Bigfoot. And I can't remember the exact details of this Bigfoot. But anyway, one of the kids, and I think it was the kid that was telling the story, his last name was Russell. And this was a Dover, you know, this is Dover area. So I had our old friend Desi's email address, and I think she was maybe living in Florida at the time. Anyway, I emailed her, and I asked her I didn't even know she had a brother. But it turns out this was Desi's brother, and wow. I had found his Bigfoot story on the internet.
Wow. Oh, that's cool. Small world, man.
That is, yeah. That's pretty cool. Yeah. Wow. And so so was that an article written, or was it a blog or something, or how did you run across something like that?
Well, you know, there's a lot of sites out there that will, you know, they will you can submit Bigfoot stories.
Gotcha. Like and, a forum
yeah,
or something?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a forum and they're available, you know, and like this one was arranged by state and also by county. And so it was searchable that way.
Oh, cool. Cool.
That's so, very cool. Yeah. Yeah. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. So, but that, you know, as far as I know, that's the only other Bigfoot story besides Shan that I've heard.
Cool.
So,
all right, so now back to Shan.
Okay, so back to Shan. So, you know, he laid everything out perfectly. I mean, very interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, it starts off with scared dogs, which I imagine probably there's a lot of Bigfoot stories that start out that way. You know, who knows what that family of Bigfoot were up to that night, if they were hunting those dogs or if they were just on the move.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, like you guys discussed, you know, he said the dump was right across the creek. Mm-hmm. I've been out there before. When I worked for the city of Kingfisher, we had I was a lifeguard. I worked at City Hall. I also worked at the wastewater treatment plant. And we had an area out there, and the dump was right across the creek from me, in an area where I tested, water that we had treated that was flowing back into the creek. And so I saw some interesting things in that dump one time. I actually saw the dog catcher across the creek dump a animal, I think it was a cat, out of a cage and execute it.
Well, those kinds of things might happen in Kingfisher, America.
Yeah. So that's so true. Anyway, very interesting. But yeah, you know, that creek is the embankments are pretty steep right there, you know. I mean, yeah. That creek has really cut quite a swath into the countryside right there.
Yeah.
So, and you know, it's wooded on both sides, you know, and it, you know, if big feet are terrestrial beings, you know, if they live on Earth, and especially if they live in Oklahoma, the only way they're going to get around is on rivers and creeks.
Yeah.
In western Oklahoma, especially. Everything else is a wheat field or a pasture. Your rivers and your creeks are going to be big feet highways.
Yeah. Right.
That's where they're going to track.
Right. Good point. Hey, Hub, can you explain, when you say live on Earth, some people might think, well, of course they live on Earth. I mean, how else would we see them? But can you explain the sort of different ideas behind where and how Bigfoot can be, the idea of where it comes from? You know, some,
yeah,
yeah.
I'll try to pull a few things. Well, you know, the first one and the idea that I probably thought of Bigfoot as when I first began my research was Bigfoot as a terrestrial being, an earth dwelling being, you know, just like, you know, flesh and bone, just
a biological natural exactly. occurring yeah. organism like us.
Exactly. So that's one theory. You know, another theory is there's a supernatural theory. And I think that theory, you know, encompasses the ability of Bigfoot to be able to travel interdimensionally.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, you know.
Is that a Native, you know, is that the Native American sort of idea?
Well,
I've heard that, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, you know, they, you know, the Native Americans have a lot of their religion and other, you know, just the way they explain things. It's based on almost magic or, you know, supernatural ideas.
Right.
Because, you know, they had no other way to explain these things, how the sun moved across the sky.
I would think that different groups also might have different ideas about, you know, nature right. and all that stuff.
Right.
As,
yeah.
As, yeah. as, you know, global conquering of Christianity and other massive religions, those huge, when we're still, pagans or whatever kind of universe or universally, what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right. So,
Yeah. So, and a third theory, and this is probably one that maybe I am more inclined to take part in, maybe my second favorite theory as opposed to the terrestrial theory would be that Bigfoot is an extraterrestrial. And you guys mentioned in Shan's episode, that there are a lot of Bigfoot sightings around the same time and same areas as UFO sightings.
Right.
And it kind of makes sense. I mean, kind of a Wookiee. Yeah. Is that a Wookiee? Bigfoot's right. A Wookiee?
Yeah. Well, we saw a lot of that at the Bigfoot Festival. I think that's the first time that I had ever seen anything that was connecting the two. I never realized that people, that idea was out there, that UFOs and Bigfoot sightings were, starting to be lumped into the same thing. I didn't know that until we saw, those talks and the people that were wearing the t-shirts with the UFO and the Bigfoot. So that may be something that people don't understand. They don't know that exists out there. So
that is true. And and maybe that's the case. Maybe that's an instance of us trying to explain things we can't understand. So we say Bigfoot's coming in on UFOs. I don't know.
Right.
So, but I think that's probably the main three. I don't know. There could be some other outliers out there. And like I said, it's been a while since I did the bulk of my research. So
that's all
I can think of off the top of my head.
And all the Bigfoot stories that you hear, you don't hear a whole lot of Bigfoot families. It's usually you see one, but you don't hear a whole lot. At least I haven't heard a whole lot of people talk about whole families being seen.
Yeah. I have read a few stories about Bigfoot families. There was, I probably should have tried to look this up, but there was a story about, I think it was a man who was, we might have read that story at the Bigfoot Festival. I had a couple of Bigfoot books. We read a few stories. Seems like there was a man who, I don't know if he was kidnapped. Yeah, he was kidnapped and held for 2 or 3 days by Bigfeet until he finally duped them in some way or another. I can't remember exactly what it was, but he escaped.
Right.
And they did not pursue him.
Mm.
So he got away. But yeah, I've heard a few Bigfoot stories. I've heard of there was one I remember. There was a group of 4 or 5 with some juveniles that somebody had seen from quite a distance. They were walking amongst some trees.
Was that the Canadian guy? Was that the one that was? Because Les Stroud Les Stroud did that show. I don't know if you saw that or not, but
yeah, I don't know if I did.
He was with one of those dudes, and he was. They would go up. They were up in the mountains in Canada, and thick, dense forest. And they were the guy that he was with. Claimed that he had filmed a family, and they showed the film toward the end. I think it's been debunked. But I thought that it was so fascinating, dude, because they kept running across these fairly large. They weren't full grown trees, but these were trees that were probably, 15, 20 years old. Mm-hmm. Maybe 5 inches or so, 6 inches in diameter, snapped off at 5-6 foot. That were leaning. They were all leaning a certain way. And the guy was talking about how that is a border that the Bigfeet are telling you not to come past this particular point, He noted that the snapping wouldn't be from snowfall, because, you know, I guess trees that snap in, you know, because of heavy snow snap in a certain way. He kept noting that it was a different way that the trees were. It looked like somebody had just taken them and just snapped them, you know,
yeah,
you know, by hand. But you'd have to be a huge dude to be able to do that. But I don't know if you ever heard anything like that. But
Oh, yeah. I've heard a lot about, you know, trees that size being broken off higher, you know, than and even a man wouldn't be able to do it anyway.
Right.
But higher than a man could reach. And not only that, but smaller trees being twisted maybe together.
There's Yeah.
And those are markings, you know. I'm not exactly sure what they're meant. I don't know if it's a territory thing or if it is a warning for, you know, other animals or humans or other big feet. They're
very intricate weaving.
Right. You would almost think that if they were kind of a warning thing, that they could only be for other Bigfoot or for people, because animals, you know, they don't really, they're this, the warnings that an animal puts out would be something like a smell, you know, like, or claw marks or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like if it's something where, you know, not too many creatures, you know, just arbitrarily tie things together or whatever, you know, they make kind of structural things. If they do make structural things, it's like a nest, you know, it's like or something for gathering food. But as far as a warning kind of a thing, that seems like there's a higher intelligence.
That's true.
And it has to, and a directed thought pattern, I think. Not just a natural kind of thing. So that's interesting. I don't know. That's a thought that just popped up in my head. Sorry.
You know, during Shan's story, when he was talking about that one tree that appeared to have been stripped of bark, and, you know, after, you know, it was clean, as if, you know, whatever they stripped up, the red dirt stains from the flood stained the other trees, but this tree, I'm sure it was white, after the stained bark was stripped off.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that could be an instance of something, and who knows if there's not a territorial scent also that's given, you know, I mean, Bigfoot could have whooped it out and took a piss on that tree. so who knows? Right. Who knows exactly? But yeah, spooky story. You know, I got the chills listening to it, and not only that, the story, but his description of how crisp and cold the night was, and we've all seen the grass dewy and frosty, and you know it's cold whenever that's happening.
That's true.
So I wasn't clear exactly though in his story how many. You know, I know he saw a female Bigfoot, and he also saw a what appeared to him to be a male Bigfoot. But then, you know, he mentioned that he thought maybe there were some, you know, teenage Bigfoot that were causing the mischief around. And did he ever say if he saw those?
I want to say that he at least... It seemed like he said there was three, or maybe he thought there was three, but he definitely saw the two for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't remember if I got to go back and listen.
It sounded the dew that was on the ground, the disturbance on the ground, would have had to have been a fairly large animal to wallow around and make the kind of imprint that he saw.
Yeah,
but I don't know. Yeah, I'm not. I think we should probe him a little bit more about the juvenile. You know what I mean. But I guess hindsight, you know.
Right.
And then that
well, Shan, if you're listening, you can shoot us an email and explain that. Tell us, give us an update on the information and the questions that have been risen here. So.
And you know, that kind of brings up another point. Was you know, the disturbances that he noticed and the frost on the grass. And, you know, where maybe one was wallowing around and, you know, maybe trying to mask its scent or maybe leaving some scent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had a couple of thoughts about that. And, you know, in the one instance where he said it looked like the Bigfoot was, you know, suckling the moisture off the grass, it kind of made me think that, you know, if they were hunting, you know, Bigfoot is possibly smelling the ground in that area, melting, you know, the frost or the dew. And not only that, I mean, who knows if Shan wasn't right in the middle of some kind of Bigfoot mating ritual.
Right.
That's could have been, you know, maybe that Bigfoot was in heat. Maybe that's where she urinated. Maybe her scent, point. Maybe he was just meeting up with her. Who knows? And maybe, I mean, there's no telling, you know, I know in the ape world that when male apes, there's a certain species of, I don't know, if ape may not be the proper term, because I don't think they're apes. I don't know if they're chimps. I don't know if they're orangutans. But, it's a
primate situation.
Yeah, primate, exactly. Yeah. A primate situation where I saw a video where these male primates would give gifts of food to the females. And then they'd give them a bunch of whatever they were eating. It was some kind of leafy green. And then that female would just hop right on him. And wow. It was, you know, she repaid the favor right there. Wow. And it was, you know, it was a little bit disgusting because these primates weren't just after, you know, females in their age bracket. So yeah. It was yeah. customary yeah. for
sure.
The primates of all ages. Sure.
Well,
so, and you know, I don't know.
And that makes sense, too, because as a species, you're trying to procreate with the most viable ones of the bunch, which would mean the younger, you know, as you get older in the primate world, you kind of get shunned because you're no longer the dude, you know, or yep. you're no longer, you know, the fertile woman. You know, those types of things happen. And it happens in our own species.
Yeah.
You know, the difference being that we have the ability to understand that that does a lot of damage. But in the animal kingdom, that those lines are very blurred, and they are simply trying to make sure that their species continues. And yeah. so they, you know, over millennia have figured a way out to make sure that that happens. So that's fascinating because I never really thought about that angle at all. And that's yeah. interesting that you brought that up.
Yeah, but who knows? And you know, and also, like he said, you know, the advantage of having a partner for all those things he listed, warmth and yeah. food and just companionship, yeah, really. Right. I mean,
yeah.
You would probably stick by and stay close to whoever your mate was.
Right.
So,
any thoughts on the box?
Well, the box.
It's a mystery. It could be related or could not be. Might yeah. just be that is just some rubbish down by the down by the river.
Yeah.
The creek there. So.
Yeah, that could be, it could be totally coincidental, you know, I mean.
If I recall, he seems to think that it was like, it didn't have frost on it, and it was out of place for what it would normally be, if I yeah. recall correctly, so.
Yeah, that's true, and that like it was kind of torn up, and, you know, he said he thought maybe one of the Bigfeet might have been actually wearing it
yeah.
as a t-shirt. or something like that. And I mean, you know, I mean, I don't know. You know, I'm not a Bigfoot, but, you know, maybe.
I wish that cell phones existed at that time like they do now.
Yeah. Yep.
The readily available camera.
Yep. Yeah. He would have had it. That's for sure. But yeah, I mean, you know, that box, if you did have some younger big feet there, I could see them being playful. You know, they find a box that's big enough, you know, mess around, put that shit on.
Right. Right.
Run around a little bit. Yeah. You know, maybe it would keep them a little bit warmer on a cold night, too. I mean, you know, homeless people stuff their jackets with newspapers to keep warm. Who knows? Maybe he put it on, put some leaves in there, whatever. You know, who knows? So it was such a very interesting story. You know, and I did find it kind of interesting that his, you know, his buddy, I couldn't ever quite tell in his story if, you know, his buddy, his buddy didn't see the big feet, right?
Well, if I recall correctly, his buddy never said explicitly if he did see anything, but he seemed to have the idea that his friend might have, but just did not want to talk about it, like, ever.
Yeah.
You know, so there's that. So it's possible, it seems like maybe, but regardless, his friend just absolutely did not want to say anything. And I think that's a natural reaction. If you saw something that just really just didn't make sense in your brain, that you just don't want to talk about it, because people do that on all sorts of things. There's all sorts of traumatic experiences that people just blank out, wipe out. And our brains are very adept at getting rid of that kind of stuff. And so it may be that his buddy saw something, and that his brain says, yeah, even if Shan's talking about this, we're not ever, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so. That's true. That is true. So, yeah, very interesting. And, you know, we can go to the glowing eyeballs now, that he saw, you know, now, he didn't see those, on the female Bigfoot. But I mean, if Bigfoot is supernatural, if Bigfoot is extraterrestrial, that could be a couple explanations. I mean, who knows? You know, if Bigfoot is an alien, they are advanced technologically. That could be some kind of Google Glass Bigfoot had on. He was wearing some kind of vision enhancement, you know, glass on his eye. If he's supernatural, those were some glowing ass eyes. They naturally glow. And he could turn them on or turn them off. And if he was pissed off, you know, or were scared or whatever, maybe, you know, I don't know.
Shan seems to not think that it was a reflection off the back of the eyes, like you do see with animals, or, you know, especially cats, you know, where you catch them right angle and the light will reflect off the back of their eye back at you. It illuminates them in a really weird way.
Yeah. When he first started talking about that, that's what I thought.
Me too.
But that almost takes a very direct and pointed light to get that. I mean, I don't think you're going to get that kind of glow from a street light. You know, it doesn't seem like it would be powerful enough to, you know, penetrate the eye and reflect back off of that, you know, that coating that you have on the back of your eye that causes that reflection. It's a possibility. I don't know how light how bright the lights were, but you know, and I'm sure he's seen that before. And like you said, he is pretty convinced that he did not think it was that. And I would think in low light situations, without a flashlight or a headlight or something like that, you know, pointing directly at that face, I would think that would kind of be an impossibility to see that.
Have you heard stories of glowing-eyed Bigfoots before?
I want to say I have. I don't remember anything,
I guess I have, specific. Too, now that I'm thinking about it, where people are saying eyes glowed. So I guess that's not entirely uncommon.
You know, actually, I think in that awesome little leather-bound Bigfoot sketchbook that you made for me, good buddy, that I keep in my safe, by the way, so, and it's fireproof. That's where very important things go. I think you drew a picture of a Bigfoot with glowing eyes.
I may have. There's definitely, you hear of the Mothman, and you know how it had glowing eyes. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know. There might be some kind of connection, or not.
So I don't know. You know, I'm not. I can't discount anything that he says. It seemed, you know, whatever happened to him happened to him on that night. There's a lot of corroborating evidence. We haven't even talked about the tracks and the stride length of a running Bigfoot. And right before we got on,
The throat thumps, the glottaling,
right,
is
right. Probably. The glottaling, yeah.
Very. I'm trying to do that. Is that working?
Yeah.
You guys hear?
Yeah,
anything?
That's
pretty good.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
you got too much beard there.
I think I have my beard is a natural silence muffling thing. So.
Well, you know, I don't know how Bigfoot was doing that. I guess it was probably all throat. There was probably no thump, because his hair would probably muffle any kind of thumping as well. But that, if that is something that they do, I mean, it'd be kind of ridiculous for Bigfoot to be thumping his throat to communicate.
Well, say that, but I mean,
it could be something
that it's seemingly as ridiculous as tree knocking or something, or birds whistling and all that. So I mean, I don't know. I don't think it's too far-fetched.
Yeah. Well, I'm not saying that he didn't hear that noise, but you know, the way we would think it would be done. I would think he could do it hands free, is what I'm saying.
It could be, you know, the African languages where they
exactly.
If you have a head as large as a Bigfoot, it's going to resonate at a much deeper tone doing that something like that.
That is probably true. So that was interesting. I would love to know what kind of communication was, you know, I don't know if that was a warning or a warning to him or a warning to other, you know, members of the pack. Or family, or pod.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting. And I don't know if I've ever really heard of anybody describe a noise quite like that coming from Bigfoot. But I don't discount it one bit. I mean, and then the stride length, I thought was very interesting, and that would be wild to be out there, you know, in low light conditions. You're like, okay, I'm gonna find the tracks of this guy that opened the toolbox, right? I'm gonna find it. So you find a track, and then you're like, okay, let's track this guy, and you go to, you know, a few feet away where you figure the next track would be, and there isn't one. And you do a circle and expand your radius around that track until, you know, you find one 15 feet away, 12 to 15 feet away. I was looking at some stuff just before we got on, and like the average human stride length at a walk is like 3.5 feet. And they judged, and they didn't say how tall a Bigfoot of this was that would have like a 5.5 foot stride length at a walk. And I don't know if this article contained anything about, you know, a human running or a Bigfoot running. I wasn't able to get that far into it, but it seems to me that, you know, that's a possibility to have a 12-foot stride length on a creature that is 7 or 8 feet tall, especially with the power that they've got. I'll bet they can move.
Especially, and, if they're running, they could definitely get a stride that big. Because, you know, if you're running, your stride is, and you're going full blast, and you can run fast, you know, you've got the power to move, then you can cover a lot of ground really quickly.
Yep. I guarantee you those legs have got a lot of strength and, you know, just the push off and just almost light.
Yeah. Well, they have to. If they're that big and bulky, then they have to be, you know.
So
fascinating. Well, it's a great story nonetheless.
Yeah.
And like you said, it happened, whatever happened, definitely happened to him. You know, he still gets super amped up about it.
Yeah.
And it seems like he can really put himself back in that moment. And, it's just it's an interesting story.
Yep.
Very good story. And I mean, one thing about it, when you see something like that on, you know, the west side of I-35 in Oklahoma, you're not dealing with a bear. There's nothing out there that you can mistake for a Bigfoot. I mean, so what he saw, he saw Bigfoot.
Yeah.
He saw at least two.
Yeah, at least two.
So I don't know. I thought it was a great story. I was on the edge of my seat listening to it. And like I said, I listened to it about four times. just taking it all in. So I really enjoyed it. Well, great story, Shane.
Yeah, thank you for coming on and giving us a little bit of extra eyes on the deal. You know?
Yeah, we appreciate your insight on the subject. And just chatting with you again about your favorite subject.
And it's always great to see you boys.
Yeah.
Likewise.
Cool.
Likewise.
All right. Well, thanks again, man. We appreciate it. We know you got to go make law. So,
all right. Well, thanks again, boys. And always great talking to you. And you guys are doing a great job. I love it. I look forward to it every week. It's one of the highlights of my week. So,
thank you, Hub.
Really appreciate it, guys.
We'll talk
keep
soon.
Keep on keeping on. Okay. Right, sounds brother. Good.
Okay.
Take care.
Barry, what do you think that people find the most far-fetched? Ghost stories or aliens as being the more unbelievable?
I would say aliens.
You know, I would agree with that probably too. Because I think with ghosts, there's a part of the belief system that is abound throughout the world. And we want to have some kind of assurance of some form of life after death.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with aliens, it's unknown for sure. It's completely unknown. We have only our imagination. We don't have a lot of universal stories that we agree upon that these things exist, maybe.
To believe in aliens is to believe that we are not the sole existence of this world, which goes against a lot of belief systems.
It definitely does. But you know, the great thing about what we're doing here is we are open to all your stories about ghosts or aliens or anything in between or anything outside of. We're not here to judge. We're here to just talk. And to share. And we don't want you to think you're crazy because you're not. And the girl, the babysitter girl, she picked up the phone and there was a policeman on the other side. And he said, "We've tracked the phone call and it's coming from inside the house."
Whoa.
Yeah, dude. dude.
I love those urban legend stories.
Dude, I do too. And you remember the one where the girl, it's always the babysitter or it's the kids making out in Lover's Lane, but there's the one where the girl comes up and she finds the kids are watching TV and she turns them around and their face has SpaghettiOs.
Oh, man. Or the hook guy. Remember the hook guy?
Oh, the hook. The hook was hanging from the rear view mirror.
Yeah.
So if you got a story that is similar to any of those awesome urban legends, we want to hear it. Because, you know, those urban legends, man, they started off as somebody's true life weird story. It's got to be true somewhere.
Oh, man, that was pretty amazing that we were able to get Mr. Hubbard back and that he was able to sort of shine a light into the mythological ideals behind Bigfoot and kind of what that's all about.
Yeah, we appreciate you coming on once again, Jeff, and for, you know, having questions that we didn't really have, you know, pop up, but also having insights into the subject matter to just give us a bit of a further understanding of the possibilities, but also, you know, just in for noticing things that I just completely just glossed over, you know,
because
I get wrapped up. Honestly, I get wrapped up a lot when the people are telling the stories,
for sure.
Our guests are telling the stories, and sometimes I forget to ask questions.
Yeah, no.
I'm a podcaster.
Right.
This is what I'm supposed to do.
Well, especially when you're not like a pro in the subject, you know what I'm saying? Because I love listening to Bigfoot stories, but I'm not the guy that's like knows every little thing about it. So I wouldn't think to ask certain questions, you know, but again, I mean, it was a great story and it was just great to get some thoughts behind that. I think a lot of people don't really understand the different ideas behind Bigfoot, because I was always the guy that believed in the sort of physical being of Bigfoot, you know? And I figured that was the only option, I guess.
Yeah, but because I guess that's a more mainstream idea behind Bigfoot is that it's, you know, he's the not supernatural, but just a biological entity that's just really good at hide and seek, you know.
Right.
But there is a broader version of schools of thought, I guess, is what would be a good way to say on the origin of Bigfoot and where he is or what he is and or they are, rather. You know, so it's just really cool to have somebody have a, you know, Shan did his research, you can tell, but Jeff had done a lot of research on it, and he gets is, you know, when he, as he was talking about when he was on with his sister, he gets kid about it quite a bit from his family and a lot of his friends, but you know, he's passionate about it and he's knowledgeable about it, and he takes a very science-based approach to it because that's his background. He has a degree in biology. He had a degree in biology before he became got his law degree and became a lawyer. So, you know, so that's his approach, and that's, I appreciate that aspect of it because that's the kind of general idea that I take whenever I think about
it. Yeah, like for sure. And it's fun, you know, and there's a fun angle there, so that's what's great. You know, I don't think I had heard of that many Bigfoot stories personally up until like we started doing these podcasts on them. Mm-hmm. And you realize that, man, that's maybe a little bit more common than what I was giving credence to. You know?
Well, I would have never thought Oklahoma would be a place for Bigfoot because it's not, I mean, it's in our area, especially the farm area because of the landscape, because it's not a lot of trees. I mean, I would describe whenever I was living in the South, people would ask me what Oklahoma looked like, you know, because it wasn't the same. And I would describe it as this. I was like, okay, imagine you go to the beach, right? And you're standing on the beach and you're right up on the shore where the waves are coming in. So you're looking out all in front of you. And instead of that, you know, that murky brown water or bluish, whatever it is, depending on the ocean that you're looking at, instead of that, that's all green, you know, and then you see all the clouds are in the sky because you see it from end to end. You know, and you're looking and you see little boats or whatever out there. Well, those are actually not boats. Those are trees, you know, and some cattle, you know,
cattle. True.
And then you look down the road, you look down to your left, and instead of being the sandy beach, it's a road, it's a dirt road, and it's red.
Yeah.
And you look down to your right, and it's the exact same thing. Yeah. And you turn around behind you, and it's the exact same thing, except maybe you see a fence and a broken old windmill that nobody's touched since 1937.
Yeah.
You know, that's the area we grew up in.
Definitely.
You're going to see a Bigfoot cutting across a field like that.
Right.
Because you can see 20 miles away.
No kidding. No kidding.
So, yeah.
That's the truth. And that's what Hub was talking about when he was talking about that, that their highways of navigation would be creeks, rivers, a lot of vegetation.
Yeah. Well, that's where the trees are. They go around those creek beds and the river beds.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right.
Makes so much sense.
Yeah, it does. It does. And that's again, great having Hub back. And and with that being said, let's move on to our next guest, Sean.
Sean also has big feet because he is a big guy, and he is he says a couple of times he's 6'2". He's taller than that. He's much taller. And Sean is a friend of mine from our grad school here. I think I mentioned that or in the introduction. But Sean's got some really cool stories, some really cool spooky stories. So yeah, well, let's just get right into it. So, Sean, thank you for being on, and what's your weird story?
All right. So this is when I was younger. I probably was like early 20s. I worked at a nursing home. I just in the kitchen, I was a dishwasher. It was a fairly large nursing home and had like numerous dining areas. So there was a central kitchen, and off of the dining areas were like smaller prep areas. So part of my duties was to clean them and to stock them with like things like juices or milks for the residents. So one day I was down there cleaning the like little kitchen area with one of the servers, and she was out setting up tablecloths in the dining room, and the room was like, I couldn't see her and she couldn't see me, but I could look out the doorway down this row of tables and chairs where the resident sat. And this one resident walks in, and yeah, I kind of look up and I recognized him because he, you know, like how older people with like a walker, they have like a kind of a hunch, and they're probably like a good like 4 inches shorter than they normally are.
Yeah.
Just because they have a walker.
Age already does that, but hunching over to get that walker.
So he like hunched over, was as tall as I am, and I'm 6'2". But he was like thin. So like if someone had to like portray themselves as like the tall man or slender man, I should say, it would be him. So I'm like, okay, I know who this guy is, and he was a nice guy, and I'm like he's going to go sit in his seat. So I finished what I was doing, and I'm walking out to go see what he wanted. And as I'm walking out, I see the server. She's walking over, and she's like, yeah, he walked past me, and I'm like, oh, okay, I'll see what he wants. And we look up. And he's nowhere. So I'm like, kind of like, just like really kind of worried at this point, because residents had a tendency to like leave the building, and there was a door back where he sat. So I'm like, oh shit. I'm like, okay, listen, I'm like, I'm going to go see if he's outside. If he went outside, cause it was the middle of winter, I'm like, you might want to have to go get a nurse, because like, it's like 10 degrees outside, and this dude, you know, he could like be sick or something. So she's like, okay, well, I go to the door and I don't see any footprints in the snow, but I'm like, well, you know, whatever. So I push the door open, and like to open the door, I had to put my weight against it, and I'm not a small guy. And so like he didn't go outside, because like the door wasn't open. So I'm like, well, where the fuck is this guy? And the server, she's like, well, she's like, is he in the linen closet? And so I'm like, oh shit. So there's this linen closet back there too that had like these big industrial like hampers full of like, you know, like tablecloths and stuff. We emptied that room out to the point where we emptied out the hampers themselves, and like the guy was nowhere, right? And we're like, where the fuck is this guy, right? Because like we both distinctly saw him, and we knew both the same guy. So we're like, well, maybe just like, I don't know, just like slipped past us or whatever. So this was like, we were setting up between lunch and dinner. So we went back to the central kitchen to kind of start prepping for dinner. And as like the trays are coming down, they have like each individual's name on it with like their dietary requirements. The manager's like, oh, you got to pull him out because he died after breakfast. And we saw him after lunch.
What?
Whoa.
Yeah. And like I'm not a big believer in like ghosts, and like, but like I saw a ghost that day. Like what it was, I don't know, But like it and part of the weirdness of this is that like it made me just like not afraid, or like it wasn't spooky. Even thinking about it now, it's more like confusing, because yeah. I saw this thing, another human being who was at nowhere near me, we weren't even like eyesight of each other, saw it too, and like we did an investigation just to find this person who we thought was in trouble, or like just like because maybe they were starting to lose, you know, their grip on reality because of Alzheimer's or whatever. Yeah, this guy had died hours before we saw him.
Did you speak to your coworker about that?
I did, because we're in the line, and I look over and she's like, "What?" And I'm like, "No, seriously." I'm like, what the fuck? And she's like, she's like, seriously, like, I have no idea what's going on. And like,
wow.
And I remember bringing it up to like the manager, because I'm like, listen, and he's like, no. He thought I was like fucking around. I'm like, listen, I'm not fucking around. I'm not fucking around about someone who just died.
Yeah.
Like, I'm telling you, I saw this thing, and it's like a real thing. And I'm like, ask, I forgot her name, but I'm like, ask her. Like, she was in there. Like, why would we make up this story? It's like, there's no reason for this. There's nothing for us to do. So,
wow, so, man.
When you saw him, did you say any word? Did you talk to him, or did you have any kind of like verbal exchange?
No, because like I was cleaning, I looked up and I saw him walking, and like, you know, he had a walker, and I remember seeing him sit down at the table, and I'm like, sometimes like residents would walk in and like they were either bored, or like sometimes they were just like hungry, so like you'd say, oh, can I get you something, or just to see what they wanted. And so I was like, it was probably like 30 seconds of me just finishing what I was doing to go see what he wanted. And like, yeah, like he couldn't have gotten out the way I in that room, because it had no door except the one I walked out of. And like, I mean, like literally we saw this. So, I mean, he didn't actually go anywhere, because like he was dead before we saw him.
So you like, and he didn't look like opaque or anything like that. Like,
no.
He was like a solid figure.
Yeah, up until the point, like, that was part of the weirdness of it, because we thought he went outside. We thought he went in this little closet to hide. Nothing about seeing him made it seem that he was not a real physical human being.
Did you have any kind of interaction? Did he recognize you when he went to sit down, or did he just like, just this is what he did? You saw him kind of.
Yeah.
But he no just, interaction, no acknowledgement.
No, he's just like, it's like he kind of just went over and sat down in his little table. He sat by himself at the very end of like this row of tables. And like, I remember like, I, you know, he was a pleasant guy, but you know, I it's not like we were buddies or anything. And I'm just like, oh, there's that guy walking in. I'm going to go see what he wants. And you know, like I don't know what to make of it, but I, like that like happened that and like is, still to this day
bizarre.
Yeah, I don't know how to like wrap my mind around it, because like, you know, but I will say this, ever since then I don't like movies about ghosts that are evil, because I'm like, I can't say I don't believe in ghosts, because like, I mean, that's the only explanation for that, like, you know, what that thing was, what its purpose was, I have no idea. I can't speak to it, but yeah,
that's a cool story.
Yeah, it's, you know, I mean, it's. I think that's like, I wonder when after this, I wonder how many people had actually seen ghosts and just not realized it, because it was so mundane,
right?
Yeah,
and if it wasn't for that idea, the fact that we knew he died before we saw him,
yeah,
you know, like people probably see ghosts all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It is entirely possible, man.
Yeah,
I had an aunt of mine that passed away, and there was a gentleman who was a police officer that knew her and had came to my family and said, listen, she talked to me, we had a conversation, and this was after she was dead, clearly. I mean, there's no way that she was alive. And he was just like, he's like, same as you. I don't know how to explain it, but we were talking, and then he finds out that she's gone. It's just crazy.
I remember when I told my wife this story, she was like, what? I'm like, seriously? I'm like, you ever hear me talking about ghosts and stuff?
Right.
And she's like, no. I'm like, I totally believe it, you know? Wow. And it's like, yeah. So, but the only downside of that is like, I don't like movies about like poltergeists or anything evil. Cause I'm like, that can happen. So right. I'm not,
yeah, you know, crazy, man. Yeah. Yeah. Dang.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. So, but after, so I, here's another little quick story. I used to work at this company that had like a, it was a lab with a clean room, and like weird stuff would happen there. And I, like, because I worked there after the nursing home, these things did freak me out. Cause like you would hear someone say your name if you were in this room by yourself. Like, yeah. It'd be like, yeah, like the first time it happened, I was sitting there working and no one was in the room. And I hear Sean, like right behind my, like someone was fucking with me right behind my head. And like, I remember going and it was a clean room. And then there was an antechamber where you would have to put on your lab coat. And outside of that was another area where people worked. And I remember opening the door and I was pissed off that day because I just got like kind of like reamed out by a manager. And there's this old guy, Lance. And I'm like, man, are you fucking with me, man? And he's like, no. And I'm like, seriously, I got shit to do. Like, just don't. Because I thought he was like poking his head in saying my name. So like I went back in and again, I heard like that kind of like, it sounded like a young boy or like a girl, but it really sounded like if someone was behind you. And I remember I went to the door again. I'm like, well, just stop fucking with me. And he's like, listen. And he was an old military guy. He's like, listen. And he was pissed. He's like, I'm not fucking with you. Just like, calm your shit down, man. And he's like, come here a second. I'm like, what? He's like, and he kind of like said, like, is this what you heard? And he mimicked it. And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, so you're fucking with me? He's like, no. He's like, it's happened to people. Wow. And like, yeah, like, and that was just like, that's like spooky. But like, I remember, yeah. He was talking to me and this older lady who, worked there came in, and Lance was like, yeah, kind of looked at me and looked at her and kind of said like, you know, someone was calling his name. And she's like, okay, yeah. And I believe, and she like, she never messed with me. You know, she was a nice lady. I found out yesterday she has since passed away. Mm-hmm. That's why I kind of thought of this story. But yeah, like she's like, no, yeah. She's like, I don't tell people this because one, they think you're a weirdo, but two, it doesn't happen to everyone. But she's like, there's days when like, if you ever notice, like I'll walk out of that room because I hear shit or I see stuff out of the corner of my eye. And I remember like one day I got there like Saturday, it was like early morning and I'm working because we had to get a whole a shipment out. And you ever like...
What was this? What kind of a place was this again?
It was a manufacturing plant that made like components for medical devices. Oh. And this room was a lab that's a clean room. So like they had these like, right. You had to wear lab coats and stuff and like hair nets. Everything was white too. It was like,
right.
You know, and I was working there and I was the only person in the building and I'm just in that room working and I felt just sheer terror. To the point where, like, I couldn't move. Right, oh, I'm a big dude, and like, you know, I it was just bizarre. And like, finally, I got like the courage. I stood up, I stared at my feet, and like shuffled out. And I sat in the other room waiting for like people to come in to work. And I sat in a way so I couldn't actually see through the windows and the doors into that clean room. And I was petrified.
Wow,
like I felt. You ever remember when you're a little kid and you think there's something in your closet or in your bed you can't move?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Dude, like, I got goosebumps. Like, that's all I'm saying right now.
Like 25-year-old, 6'2", and at the time I think I was like 350, solid muscle, but like a good solid man, terrified to look over his shoulder in a room he knew where he was by himself. And I remember like the old lady that I worked with. She came in with another guy and she kind of looked at me and she's like, what's wrong? And I'm like, I just couldn't go in there. I'm sorry. And she's like, do you need to have a cigarette? I'm like, yeah, I do. And I just like chain smoked half her pack of cigarettes.
Oh my gosh.
And she was like, what happened? I told her, and she's like, yeah, she's like, every so often I get that feeling, you know? And she's like, it's not the same thing as hearing someone say that the voice is like just weird, but she's like, every so often you feel just like sheer terror. And that's like what that is. I don't know. I'm not saying that's a ghost or anything, but like that was just,
were you really,
that was, is,
was there any history to this place? I mean, was it older building or anything?
I don't know because it was like one of those buildings that they just slap up out in the suburbs because someone started a company back in the 70s or something.
Right.
So like, was there history there? I don't know. But like, yeah, like, and I remember once trying to talk to this other lady we worked with about this, and she was like, no. And like, she like ran away from me. And like, because like, I really think she did experience something, but she just didn't want to talk about it.
Wow.
Like, and, but like the old lady, Audrey, she actually, yeah, she would talk about it, and she's like, yeah, you know. And after that, I'm like, I don't ever want to come in and work by myself. And she's like, don't.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm not joking. I'm like, I'd rather not have a job, because like, it was just, yeah.
Interesting. You
know? And like, and the difference is, like I said, like when I saw that, like the ghost that I know is a ghost, there's no terror or fear or anything, but like something about working in there. So like what it was, I don't know, you know. And I've been, you know, I've never been someone who's afraid to be in a house alone. You know, I've been, you know, yeah, I've worked at places where I was the only at night, the only person in the whole building.
Yeah.
Never felt this amount of fear. You know, I've walked around bad neighborhoods carrying like big wads of cash when I used to do just like like independent like rug cleaning stuff, you know. Yeah. And I see like, you know, so but yeah. That kind of stuff is like that. It's that kind of stuff that makes me interested in like the world larger, because like, you know, I've experienced things, so I can't write anyone's experience off.
Yeah.
You know,
And that's the thing too, is that that's kind of the angle that we have found to be true, is that no matter what, no matter how you try to explain to somebody what you've seen, if somebody else hasn't had that experience, it's hard for them to understand what it is that you're trying to say. But people that have had those experiences, man, that are like, hey, I'm not some whack job. Like, I actually am fairly resistant to the idea of this. If you experience something like that, it changes everything, you know?
Yeah. And I totally understand why people don't talk about it. Because like I worked, like those people I worked with in that the manufacturing plant, they had experienced those things numerous times. And I had worked in that room for probably almost a year before I experienced anything. And I know why they didn't say anything to me, because I'd be like, what the fuck? You know, a bunch of weirdos trying to like fuck with me. Like,
especially if you're saying, oh, I had this feeling, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, you had a feeling. Well, you know.
Yeah, never saw anything. Nothing that was ever moved. You know, it was just like this feeling of sheer terror that, like, I have no idea how to describe it.
Other than
sheer terror. Yeah.
Your body just out of nowhere typically just does not create the sensation. I mean, a sheer terror is like, that's an underlying thing. You understand that, you know that. That's not a panic attack. Yeah.
It's fight
or flight. That's not some kind of a freak out thing. That's very, very, very base, you know.
Yeah. And at the time I was living with a buddy of mine who, it was this older house, and he used to sneak up on me because I would be a big, like that kind of thing. But like the one day he snuck up on me to try to scare me, and I fucking slapped him right in the face just out of reflex. And I was like, I feel bad, but like, you know, like if you're going to try to scare me, I'm not going to like run away. I'm going to start swinging at you. Yeah. But being in that room, I did not want to swing at it. I did not want to like look like I was just like, whatever this thing is, I can't deal with it. I'm out of here.
Man. And like, obviously other people had, because they
you're
like,
yeah, I mean, that's got to be a little bit validating. At least other people had felt that same thing.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, and like when they walked in and like, you know, Audrey's like, you need to have some smokes, and like I just like chain smoked, and she didn't say anything. I just like chain smoked half her pack, and like and you know, she's this little lady, and like she just kind of was just like, are you okay? And I'm like, okay, like, we can go work. And she's like, okay, you don't have to work in there by yourself, you know.
Yeah. And I'm plus, like, all right. We should also say that like nobody's got anything to gain in a situation like that. Like there's no reason for you to make something up like that. And then why would you make something up like that and then have the balls to go to somebody else and say, hey dude, like this is what happened, you know? Cause you're exposing yourself to the, you know, the crazy comments, you know?
Yeah. And to ridicule and all sorts of things. So,
yeah. You know, the world is a lot weirder than just like the surface of it. So,
yeah. Great stuff, man. Great stuff.
Yeah, dude.
Thanks.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks.
And while we got you here, mm-hmm. On the podcast, you recently started your own podcast, entirely different genre.
Yeah.
But tell us what it is and tell us a little about it, if you don't mind.
Oh, yeah. No, thanks. It's called Bored in the Suburbs, and it's kind of an offshoot of my thesis work for my Master of Fine Arts. I've always been interested in the suburbs, and you know, like the suburbs have this reputation of being very kind of bland and boring. But if you kind of like just kind of how you guys are having conversations with people about their weird stories, if you just have like conversations, like there's like interesting things happening in the suburbs, and like even things that aren't meant to be interesting, they're like thought provoking. Like where I live, I'll drive around and there's like sidewalks that don't really go anywhere. Like you'll be driving down this road and like there's a stretch of sidewalk, just random stretch of sidewalk. And it's like, so like I try to find out why that is. Like, does somebody know why there's just this like over 2 miles stretch of road there's like 50 feet of sidewalk that doesn't connect anything?
Which reminds me, is it Cincinnati or Cleveland that there's like these underground tunnels that were built?
Cincinnati.
Is it Cincinnati?
Okay, yeah. So it's like
Great Cincinnati Subway that they never finished.
Okay, yeah. So it's kind of like that kind of stuff that you're talking about, because people have talked about that, where it's like, you know, there's just this weird thing, and it's just always been there, and nobody's really ever thought about it, and then
because like names of subdivisions,
uh-huh.
Like. I was lucky enough that across the street is a subdivision that was built in the late 90s where like the cheapest house is like $500,000, you know, which is weird how like if you know Cincinnati, you can have like really high end luxury homes right next to like kind of like low end.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, so it's called Bridal's Gate. Right. And I'm like, what? And luckily, the guy who owns the house next door, his son, like lived there since like he was born in like the 60s. He's like, oh, yeah, he's like, there used to be a horse farm. And that's a horse. And but it's like those kind of like stories.
Yeah.
That like there's.
That's cool.
And it seems like it's kind of like doesn't really mean anything. But I think if we. By examining like the suburbs, we can get a better understanding of our contemporary society, because like the suburbs are a very American thing.
Absolutely.
Anyone I've ever talked to who's from other countries or traveled to other countries, they have suburbs, but not like here. No. The only place that comes close is Australia.
Interesting. And,
yeah.
You know, there's a lot. I've been to Australia, and it's when you go there, there's so many things that are in line with what we do. The architecture, it's similar in age, and you know, there's just kind of the way of life is very similar, very similar.
I think that probably you could, and just as a thought aside, but you could probably attribute that to both of us being former English colonies, but also having the area the actual real estate for people to build out rather than building up and up and up, you know.
Exactly.
So that's another thing is like, because you know, I mean, suburbs were to get away from this urban area, get away from the cities, but be able to drive in. So yeah,
right. And like, and then how, like, with the change, like the change in demographics of the suburbs, you know, like there's a lot of older, like, white people who, like, now their neighbors are not white, they're like Hispanic or you know, Asian, and like, yeah, like how that changing on the suburbs really is reflecting the changing of our country as a whole.
A true melting pot. Yeah, for sure, man.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. That's
really great. Cool, because you've got both local history, but also you've got, you know, your just anthropological approach, and, you know, I mean, you've got all sorts of, you know, society in there and on a buffet. So
Awesome.
And again, it's very conversational, just because it's like, I like to talk to people.
Yeah.
Because if I go in there with a series of questions, like, that's why sometimes, like, the, like, you listen to it, it seems like it kind of takes a weird twist and turn, the conversation. But like, I don't prepare any questions. I just like people talking based on what they say. I just follow up. So
that's awesome. Well, everybody go check out Bored in the Suburbs. Sean's podcast.
Yeah.
Subscribe.
Thanks. Definitely going to subscribe.
All right, man. Thanks.
Hey, Barry.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a goat sucker?
What?
Goat sucker. Chupacabra.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever seen one of those?
I haven't seen one personally, but I've heard about them.
Yeah, me too. If anybody's got a goat sucking story, wait, if you got a goat sucker story, we want to hear it. If you got a Bigfoot story, we want to hear it. If you got a Loch Ness Monster story, or a Lake Champlain story, or Ogopogo story, or an Oingo Boingo story, wait, that was an 80s band. Anyway, you got a weird cryptid story, we want to hear it.
I didn't even know what a cryptid was, man.
Yeah, dude, cryptids. They're like the animals that haven't been necessarily proven by science. They're the ones on the edge, you know. They're not necessarily known animals, but they're known animals. We don't have the bodies or anything like that. So they're kind of like half myth, half story, based in reality, but still in that weird mystery area that we don't know about yet. Cryptids are fun. Dude.
Yeah.
Sean. Dude, Sean, thank you so much. Those were great stories and just a great chat to have.
Yeah.
And
even our pre-chat was awesome.
Yeah, we had a lengthy pre-chat that was probably longer than our recorded chat. So.
Yeah, but cool guy.
Definitely. Yeah, so thanks for coming on, and definitely Bored in the Suburbs. Check out that podcast. And everybody, you know, thanks for listening. We're going to try to wrap it up real quick here. So thanks for listening. Join us next week. We've got some cool stories from Alaska. And Angela's got some cool stories, fun stories for us there. It's completely different, but a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So
looking forward to that.
Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Be safe.
Be weird.
As always, if you have a weird story, we want to hear it.
If you have a lot of them, we want to hear them all.
We can't do this podcast without your invaluable contributions.
Whether it's sharing your stories,
listening,
rating,
and spreading the word about the podcast. Thanks for listening. Till next time, be safe.
Be weird.
The stories presented on the What's Your Weird Story podcast are, to our knowledge, true experiences that our guests have had. We can't take the time to research all claims made, and besides, it's just not as fun.